the most amazing man alive. Police often question him just because they find him interesting. He once counted to infinity, twice. His picture is worth a billion words. He is both left-handed and right-handed. It only takes him 20 minutes to watch 60 minutes. He can't judge a book by its cover. He uses Tabasco sauce instead of Vicine. He can speak Braille. He once beat up the man who invented boxing. He once overthrew a third world dictator by making a single phone call. His barbecue ribs are so good, he was given a Nobel Peace Prize. People come from miles around just to watch his beard grow. He was turned down for the lead in Cool Hand Luke because he was too cool. He never asked for directions because he is never lost. He had to walk to school, uphill both ways in the snow, barefoot. There is no loofah in his shower. He uses an SOS pad. He has had a full-time job since he was two. He is not afraid of the dark. The dark is afraid of him. His favorite food is steak. Sometimes he even cooks it. He is the most amazing man alive. He is your father. Happy Father's Day, my friends.
So, men, if that described you, you not only have my admiration, but you may leave because I have nothing to offer you this morning. For the rest of us, it is Father's Day. It's a day when we recognize significant men in our life, and it's a day that I'd like for us to focus on the unique role that God has given men, in the same way that we did on Mother's Day, the unique role that God has given women. Of course, it blurs the line, but there are times when we just want to hold up, what does it mean to be a godly woman? What does it mean to be a godly man? And so today, with fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers, uncles, anyone that really has an opportunity to pour into the next generation, we want to look to God's Word and say, well, what role is it that God would have us play? Well, to me, He gives us a living example in that because we call Him God the Father. So God the Father's relationship with us as His children certainly gives us insight, but there's also God the Father's relationship with God the Son. And so as we look at those relationships, then we can learn, well, what are some important things and characteristics for us to be godly fathers, right? Well, there's many of them that are there, but there's three that I'd like to pull out today. And that is the God the Father as an encourager, as a disciplinarian, and as a teacher. We start out that God the Father as an encourager. And here we look to the relationship between God the Father and God the Son, and we see the Father encouraging His Son. We go to Jesus' baptism. Jesus is about to embark upon His public ministry. And even before that, He's going to go off into the wilderness where He's going to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. And so as He is about to embark on that, He's baptized. The heavens open up, Scripture says. The Holy Spirit descends on Him, but then His Father's voice rings out. This is My Son. With Him, I am well pleased. He gives Him an attaboy. There you go, Son. Proud of you. Glad of all the things that you've done. He bolsters Him up. He encourages Him then for His ministry. He does the same thing on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus comes down from that mountain, He starts heading to Jerusalem, ultimately His crucifixion. The heavens open up again. The Father says, good job, Son, says to the disciples, listen to Him. He knows what He's talking about. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, He's hours away from being crucified. The Father sends an angel to Him to minister to Him and to strengthen Him. God the Father encouraging His Son. Men, be an encourager. Be the one that comes alongside the next generation, bolsters them up, gives them an attaboy. When you think about it, when you encourage someone, you're instilling confidence in them. You're instilling confidence in them because, one, you say, I believe in you, and two, you're saying, you're not alone. It's when you walk up alongside of them and say, you know what, you've been studying awfully hard. You don't need to worry about that test. You're going to do just fine. You've been practicing day and night. If you don't make the team, you should have made the team. You've put out so many resumes, the job is going to come your way. I believe in you. I know that you can do this. It's those attaboys, those moments where you put your arm around them and say, You got this, and I'm here with you. One of the greatest examples I saw of this was actually in the 1992 Olympics. I don't know if you remember that or not, but Derek Redmond was a runner. He was from Great Britain, and he'd been practicing like all the athletes and working for years for that moment, and there really were some pretty high expectations of him. He gets on the track, and he doesn't make it very far at all, and he says that he heard this loud snap. His hamstring blew out right there on the track, and he crumbles to the ground, but he picks himself back up because he wants to finish the race. Watch what his dad does for him. That's encouragement. My favorite part about that is when the official comes over, meaning well, to help him off the track, and he just brushes him away. And if I could read his lips, I think it said, "We got this. We got this. Son, you got this. And I'm right here with you. And we're going to cross the finish line together." Be an encourager of the next generation and walk alongside of them. The next thing that we see of God the Father is God the Father is a disciplinarian. And sometimes we think that discipline is a negative word or a bad word, and it really isn't. If you look at the word disciplinarian, right in the middle of it is the word disciple. Because when we're disciplined, we learn from those things. When we make mistakes and somebody corrects us, we learn from that mistake so that we don't do it again. And so actually, when you discipline someone, you're demonstrating love for them. You're showing that you're paying attention to them. Listen to what the writer of Proverbs says. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves," whom he loves. It says God's paying attention to our lives. And if we're going in the wrong direction, don't you want him to set us straight and bring us back into the right path? When you love someone, that's what you do. And so as God disciplines us and at times has a word of correction for us, so men, be a disciplinarian. Be the one that's paying attention to what's happening in kids' lives. So show them that you care, that if you see them going in the wrong direction, you pull them back and put them in the right direction. It demonstrates that you love them, that you care about them. Yeah, I'm convinced that sometimes my kids did things just to see if I was paying attention, because they did things that they knew were wrong. I mean, it was obvious. And to me, it was pretty obvious that they weren't going to get away with it. And I think the question in their minds, either consciously or not, was, is Dad paying attention? Is he seeing what we're doing here? It's a way of saying, yeah, I'm paying attention here. You set up boundaries for your kids. And you say you can go this far, but you can't go any further. That gives them a sense of security. It says, you know what, as long as I stay in these bounds, I'm going to be okay. But I know that there's a line there. When I cross that line, I'm going to be in trouble. Right? So we're a disciplinarian, watching what our kids are doing. And by the way, I don't think that we ever outgrow this. I think that parents are always called into that role. I remember when my oldest brother came back from boot camp. He went off to be a Marine. So he came home, big bad Marine. And he's standing in the kitchen. I'm just a little guy at this point. And I didn't hear the conversation. All I saw was the expression on my brother's face as my mother slapped him. I don't know what he said to her. I don't care. But what she was saying was, you may be a big Marine, but you're still not going to talk to Mama that way. There's still boundaries. That's what discipline is about. It's a demonstration of love that says, hey, I'm paying attention, and I'm going to make sure that you stay within these parameters. God the Father is a disciplinarian. Be a disciplinarian. Finally, we see God is always follows discipline with forgiveness. We always have to follow discipline with forgiveness. That's what the Father does. We never doubt the fact that He loves us. We never doubt the fact that we are forgiven in Him. Take a look at a powerful passage, Romans 5, verse 8. But God shows His love for us, and that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. You see the power of that passage? While we're still living a life that is not what He wants, while we're still rebelling against Him, His Son died for you. That means that the forgiveness is given, and that when He disciplines us and the word of correction comes, we never doubt. We never doubt of His love and His forgiveness. The same should be true of you. If there's a word of correction, if there's a word of discipline, it's always followed by words of forgiveness and a demonstration of love. Be a disciplinarian. Finally, we see God the Father as a teacher. And certainly He opened up for us and He revealed Himself to us in the pages of the Bible. And there He revealed all the things that we need to know about Him and everything that we need to know about ourselves. And then God says that now this is to be taught to generation after generation after generation. Listen to what Moses says to the people. So we're in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Moses says, "And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you the statutes and rules, that you might do them in the land that you're going over to possess." So all the stuff that Moses learned when he was up on the mountain for 40 days, and God was revealing Himself to Moses. He says, now everything that I taught you, He says, now you go down and you teach the people. But see, it doesn't stop there, because then Moses tells him, but now you teach the next generation. So if we go over to Deuteronomy chapter 6, He says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." The most important thing that we can do is pass down to the next generation the faith that God has called us into, the faith that God has called the children into, but to nourish that faith and to pour into that faith, that all that God has taught you, that now you teach the next generation. And do you notice how Moses says it's done? He says, talk about it when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night. Talk about it when you're sitting down on a meal. Talk about it when you're walking on the road. In other words, when? All the time. All the time. It's a way of life. And an awful lot of teaching happens without words, because kids are always watching adults. And those that they love and respect, how they live, that's how they're going to live. And they see right through, do as I say, not as I do. That holds no water with them. So as you live out your faith, as they catch you praying, reading your Bible, as you regularly come to worship and partake of the sacraments, that way of life will be instilled in them. That is the greatest legacy that you can leave behind, is that your children have the same faith that you do. It's the relationship that the Father has with us. And men, today we can learn from that. What does it really mean to be an amazing dad? Well, you don't need to watch 60 Minutes and 20. You do not have to have a Brillo pad in the shower. But if you love your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your nieces and nephews, the same way that the Father has loved you, you walk alongside them and encourage them, if at times you discipline them and follow it up with forgiveness, and then you pour into them and you teach them, then you really are amazing. Amen. Stand and pray with me. Heavenly Father, you are a good, good Father. And you have showered your blessings down upon us, and you have modeled for us what it is to be a father and to love your children. I pray that all of the fathers that are gathered here, those who have an influence in the next generation, that your Holy Spirit would dwell in their hearts, and that they would be an encourager, they'd be a disciplinarian, that they'd be a teacher, so that they could bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.